Okay, today, guys, we're joined by Commodore J. Tariella, a public servant. Kamusta, sir?
Okay naman, Richard. Magandang hapon sa'yo at sa mga taga-subaybay mo.
Sure. I'm sure it was a very, very busy day for you kasi kanina kakatapos siya lang ng press conference. There's a lot to discuss, Commodore Tariella. First of all, what is the latest in the West Philippine Sea as far as the situation on the ground is concerned?
Well, for going to talk about the last resupply mission, well, you know what happened last March 23. The Chinese Coast Guard never hesitated to increase their level of aggression. This time around, they used a jet stream water cannon that resulted to injuring four sailors from the Philippine Navy and, of course, destroying the Unaizame 4. Right now, it's no longer seaworthy. It has to pass through so much renovation para maayos pa siya.
And is there a significant change in China's strategy, or are we seeing just a darker version of China's gray zone strategy? Because we keep on saying China employs gray zone strategy. They don't want to get into an actual fight or armed conflict. But what we're seeing right now is injury of Filipino troops and servicemen. So what's going on here?
I think the best way for us to illustrate what's really happening now is that instead of, you know, looking into whether it's this gray or they wanting to go black now, because the mere fact that we're using transparency as a way to expose this, not as a gray strategy, but at an outright illegal provocative action. No? So I think we have been very successful in saying these are not gray. This is actually an outright illegal actions that the Chinese Coast Guard or Chinese Maritime Militia has been doing before. Since we launched the transparency strategy from February until this year, until the end of the year, our narrative of a David and Goliath because of the transparency strategy has become very successful. I mean, more countries now are standing up beside the Philippine government in criticizing and exposing Chinese aggressive action. And if you're going to differentiate, is the transparency strategy still considered to be effective now that the David and Goliath appears to be, you know, China becoming more aggressive and never hesitate to really stand up and become more Goliath in harassing and bullying David? Are we still very effective with the transparency strategy? Well, my response to that question is, I think so. The mere fact that China no longer hesitated to remove their pretension of being a benevolent nation or a country that will be a responsible power once it becomes a greater one than the United States, we have removed that mask of pretension. We show the international community that look at China. They are really using so much level of aggression, so much level of force for them to bully around their intention of dominating a smaller country like the Philippines. And for me, it's a success story. The mere fact that China is using all this kind of aggression for countries in the region to be silenced and not to use the same transparency strategy, just like what the Philippines has been doing for almost more than a year now.
So tingin niyo ba, nahihirapan din ang China? In a sense na nagdadalawang isip rin sila anong pwedeng gumana sa Pilipinas?
Well, para sa akin, Richard, no? Nagdadalawang isip sila in a way na hindi na nila alam kung anong gagawin nila sa Pilipinas. Lagi kong sinisabi, no? From the time na inoccupy nila ang mga isla ngayon sa South China Sea na has been unoccupied before. One good example, from 1995, Mischief Reef incident. They took a Mischief Reef from us without firing a single shot. 2012, fast forward, the same thing. They took control of Scarborough Shoal without firing a single shot as well. From 2013 to 2017, they have completed ang reclamation activities nila without using military action. So, all in all, they have changed the status quo sa buong South China Sea without actually deploying or being engaged to a more militaristic approach, no? So, ngayon, pagdating ni President Bongbong Marcos, it was completely different strategy that they may be needing. We also have to understand the fact that from 2016 to 2022, iba naman ang naging approach ng dating administration, more on diplomatic, more on sincere relationship with President Xi Jinping, pero hindi naman nasuklian ng talagang ini-expect natin na mas matahimik, mapayapang West Philippine Sea. But for this time around, this is the first time that a small country in Southeast Asia has stood up and exposed Chinese aggression and tell the world that all of this, these are not gray zone activities. These are illegal actions that needs to be criticized by like-minded states who really cares for the rules-based order. Otherwise, powerful countries or rising power like China will just, you know, set aside the established international rules-based order. At hindi lang tayo maapektuhan nito, but even the region. So for China to be able to silence the Philippines, whether through information operation or heightening the level of tension, they're actually having a hard time now. And you can also notice this, Richard, no? Mas tumataas ang number ng trolls, mas tumataas ang deployment nila dito ng Chinese Coast Guard, the Chinese Maritime Militia. It is worth mentioning, no? Na during the time, I think it was like last week, or I mean last month, the AMTI, Gregory Pauling, released a report that more Chinese Maritime Militia vessels and Chinese Coast Guard has been deployed compared to the previous administration. Well, obviously, kailangan pa nilang galingan eh para ma-prevent ang Philippine government to do whatever we're doing in maintaining our presence in the West Philippine Sea. The same thing with the trolls, no? Ang argument ng ibang media personalities, do I really believe na ang transparency still works? Considering na mas tumataas daw ang bilang ng trolls, considering na mas magiging nagpo-proliferate ang fake news, despite of the transparency strategy that we're doing. Again, my response to that is, of course, China doesn't really know what to do that right now. How can they be able to silence this administration for once again convince us to follow their narrative?
Pero hindi ba mas nakakatakot pag ganyan? Yung cornered beast ng China, baka gagawa sila ng mas marahas na bagay or more violent strategies. Are you worried about the risk of this getting out of control? Or do you think na fear-mongering lang yung mga ganyan discussion?
I think that's different. No? We cannot also say na they are cornered beasts. No? I think you can fairly say na masasabi mong ang isang cornered beast has something to do with their own national security, their economic survival. Pero dito, hindi naman, what we are doing of exposing their illegal actions doesn't define their national survival. What defines here is we are just exposing their illegal aggression. So, we cannot say na they are a cornered beast. What we can do here is that we are telling the beast na for you to be able to be considered as somebody that we can go along with other beasts, you have to abide with the international law. You have to fall in line and you should not bully your way out to justify your action.
Now, for the sake of argument, anong sinasabi ng China na meron daw silang gentleman's agreement sa dating administrasyon na ang Pilipinas daw yung provocateur, tayo daw yung pasaway, eh sila naman daw, sumusunod naman sila sa mga agreements sila with the previous administration. Anong understanding na sa Philippine Coast Guard when it comes to the gentleman's agreement?
Alam mo, kung ako lang, I mean, I'm just a Coast Guard officer, you know? The way I understand it, the commander-in-chief, the chief architect of our foreign policy, has already spoken. He said that he's not aware of such gentleman's agreement, but if there was any, he is already rescinding it. He said that last year already. Unfortunately, may mga tao lang na gustong ibalik-balik itong issue na to eh. Kumbaga, we're stuck in that debate whether there was really a secret deal, there was a new model, whatsoever na sinasabi nila. But the mere objective of this kind of fake news is only to sow discord and disunity among the Filipino people. Kumbaga, nililito lang naman tayo nitong mga to. So once and for all, for the Philippine Coast Guard, the national government agencies, and the National Task Force West Philippine Sea, for us, itong mga issue ng gentleman's agreement na nilalabas nila, this is part of their propaganda. We don't have to spend so much time, no, to try to explain our position. The president has already spoken, and that's it. That's already the end line of this argument.
And pagdating dito, what do you think will be China's next move? Magre-recalibrate pa sila? Or do you think they're just going to keep on doing the same thing until they'll get different results? Because my interpretation is they were very affected by the term bully, right? I never saw China na ganyan yung response sila, na hindi kami bully, very defensive sila. Mukhang natamaan talaga sila dun sa yung the way they came off as very aggressive and bullying. What's your understanding there?
Well, for me, you know, the Chinese government, and then if you're going to ask how the National Task Force West Philippine Sea will respond to whatever recalibration that they're going to do, we can see naman eh, what are the changes now compared before sa nagiging approach nila with our transparency. They're just basically increasing their information operation. They're just engaging more trolls to counter our factual narrative. And if this will be the calibrated approach of China in countering the transparency strategy, ang sabi nga ni NSA, this is very easy for the national government to respond to. We're just going to keep on telling the truth. We're just going to continuously embed foreign journalists to be our truth tellers, to tell the world what's really happening. And this is the reason kung bakit ang China is also, you know, not even the Chinese, not just even the People's Republic of China, but even their pro-China trolls are saying na ang mga media daw na ini-embed natin are actually the reason why China is being provoked. But this is what we're going to continue doing.
So in short, ang sinasabi mo, ang nangyari dito is parang ginagaslight tayo ng China.
Yes. Diba?
Parang tayong sinisisi for doing what's right. Sinisisi yung mga media for reporting the truth. So this is a classic case of gaslighting. Now, just for the purpose of education, siguro kasi yung mga ibang kababayan natin, hindi pa rin nila nag-gets. Bakit? Ano yung division of labor sa pagitan ng Philippine Coast Guard at saka yung Philippine Navy? Di ba yung Philippine Navy naman daw yung gumagawa ng resupply? For instance, dun sa Ayungin Shoal, hindi ba sila yung may obligasyon or mandato, no, na protektahan ng ating karagatan? What is the coordination between the Philippine Coast Guard and Philippine Navy? And is it evolving over time? Is it changing? Is it flexible? Ano yung division of labor nangyari dyan?
Well, first of all, Richard, no, our change of deploying White House is not something that happened overnight. And it's not something that we can just attribute to President Bongbong Marcos. The very origin of the deployment of Coast Guard vessels started and goes back during the time of President Noynoy Aquino. Of course, there was a standoff and we're in, you know, the propaganda of the Chinese saying we are militarizing a simple issue of fishery law enforcement when the Philippine Navy decided to board one of the Chinese fishing vessel in Bajo de Masinlo, and that resulted to a standoff. That was 2012. And then 2013, President Pinoy also realized the importance of deploying white ships instead. That's also the reason why when he went to Japan in 2013, that's his first request to Prime Minister Abe to support the Philippine government for the acquisition of Coast Guard vessels. That's the 1044-meter vessels that we see now, and of course, the 297-meter vessel. During the time President Aquino, there are two main reasons why he did that. Of course, learning what happened from the Scarborough Shoal standoff, that the Chinese propaganda of, you know, not militarizing the dispute. And second is the regional norm. You also have to understand the fact that it's not just the Philippine Coast Guard that is being deployed in the South China Sea. You can also find the Vietnamese Coast Guard, Malaysian Maritime Enforcement Agency, or the Malaysian Coast Guard, and also in Natuna Island, with Indonesia also having trouble with China, that they are deploying Bakamla, a white ship as well. So this is the regional norm that nobody is going to militarize the South China Sea. This is primarily the reason why the Coast Guard vessels have been deployed during the time of President Aquino. And then came President Duterte's time. That's the time na nagdatingin naman ang mga barko natin from Japan. And to be fair with President Duterte, he has also relied on the Philippine Coast Guard vessels to be deployed in
tuloy-tuloy yung modernization.
Yes, and modernization of the Coast Guard, of the Coast Guard during the time President Duterte. And also, right now, during the time of President Bongbong Marcos. So that explains why Coast Guard is being deployed in the West Philippine Sea. But we should not also discount the fact that the Philippine Navy or the Armed Forces of the Philippines, they are actually playing a much more important role than the Philippine Coast Guard. Ako, sinasabi ko nga lagi, Richard, for the Philippine Coast Guard, we can just, you know, carry out, maintain our presence in the West Philippine Sea. But when we talk about the territorial defense, when we talk about the hard security part of it, these are warships of the Philippine Navy or the fighter planes of the Philippine Air Force. This is something that the Philippine Coast Guard will never take away from the armed forces of the Philippines. When we talk of defense and security, that's actually for the armed forces of the Philippines. But when we talk about maritime governance and maintaining our presence in our own exclusive economic zone, then the Philippine Coast Guard can perform this kind of roles.
So meron kayong optimal coordination pagdating sa defense of our territorial waters and sovereign rights. Yeah.
Well, the National Task Force West Philippine Sea is a very effective interagency task force chaired by the National Security Advisor, J. Eduardo Año. Being a former chief of staff, being a former DILG secretary, he has a much more, very diverse appreciation of how he can mix forces between maritime law enforcement and the military, and also in engaging other government agencies. So, under Gen. Eduardo Año as our chairman for the National Task Force, he is very effective in having a whole-of-nation approach in addressing the issue in the West Philippine Sea.
Pwede pa kayi-explain, ano itong whole-of-nation approach? Ang ibig sabihin niyan, hindi lang yung gobyerno, iba't ibang ahensya ng gobyerno, pero involved din dapat yung taong bayan, civil society groups?
Yes. Well, one good example of this is whenever we publicize a particular incident, minsan nami-mislook ng mga tao, akala yata nila lahat ng sinasabi ko sa media is just something na decided by the Philippine Coast Guard. We have to understand the fact na within the National Task Force West Philippine Sea, there are a lot of information work. There are a lot of working group. For example, the information working group that's actually chaired by the Presidential Communication Office.
Right.
So, for a particular incident to be publicized, it has to pass through the vetting of that information working group. And within that group, you have to deal with the Department of Justice, the Department of National Defense, the Department of Transportation, Armed Forces of the Philippines, PCO, the NICA, NSC, and others. No? So, all of this have to weigh in on all those information that I would decide to, that I would present to be released to the public. So, in short, all of these agencies cooperate to attain a certain objective, whether it's more of informational, whether it's diplomatic, or even the economic side of things are also presented to the National Task Force West Philippine Sea. So, in short, this is not just a military approach, but you also have to look into the diplomatic approach, the law enforcement approach, even the economic approach of our West Philippine Sea strategy are all discussed within the National Task Force.
Bakit mahalaga yung ganyang coordination? Is it also in terms of responses? Also, it's in terms of making sure na one agency doesn't undermine another agency? Why is the coordination part very important?
Well, you know, our issue in the National Task Force West Philippine Sea is our relationship in particular with the People's Republic of China is not only limited on our position in the West Philippine Sea. There are a lot of things that are entangled with our relationship with China. Of course, we still have diplomatic relationship with them. We also have economic and trade relationship with China. So all of this has to be considered as well. But beyond that, it's not just China. You also look at other claimant states, Vietnam, Malaysia, Brunei. So all of these things are also being discussed there in a much more macro level appreciation of things.
balikan natin yung Philippine Coast Guard kasi maraming stereotype dyan. The reason pinag-usapan natin yung interagency coordination is because may stereotype na, Philippine government, sabog yan, lahat yan, nag-aawa yan, ganyan-ganyan. So, maganda na na-explain yun na actually there's tremendous amount of coherence pagdating sa response. And it looks fast enough kasi wala pang ilang oras pag may bullying nangyari. Alam na namin, nakikita na namin yung mga drone shots, nasa-share namin online, nakikita natin yan. So, that is a testament to the growing efficiency and coherence as far as interagency coordination is concerned. But, pwede natin balikan, ano yung, kasi pagdating sa Philippine Coast Guard, again, napansin ko, base dun sa aking, you know, whenever I share something on social media, parang surprise ang mga kababayan natin na, aba, mukhang maganda yung mga bago natin. Eh. Diba, kunyari, may pinakita ko from Philippine Navy. Aba, bago na to, ano ba? Sabi ko, aba, BTS yan, made in Korea yan, yung mga ganun, di ba? Kasi usually, meron tayong mga stereotype na, Philippines, dilapidated, backward tayo. So I think in terms of Philippine Navy, I think they have done a good job and na-share ko rin yung mga updates pagdating sa capacity nila, capabilities nila. And lalong-lalo na yung nangyari ng joint patrols. Nakita nila na may mga barko din tayo maganda, hindi yung mga kulelat lang. Kasi I always say, you can play the David versus Goliath game kung mukhang may laban ka. Kasi let's not forget, David, if you follow the statue, right, there in Florence, was a strong, good-looking guy. I mean, like, you know, may laban ka eh. Kasi iba yung kawawa, iba yung David. In David, underdog ka, pero may laban ka. So, pagdating sa Philippine Navy, napansin ko, the reason I'm explaining is because my separate interviews tayo with Philippine Navy, people from National Security Council. Can you tell us a little bit about Philippine Coast Guard? Yung size ng ating mga barko, how does it compare with what we had before, but also how it compares with the region? Kasi may mga guests tayo before, especially my other programs na sinasabi, the Philippine Coast Guard went from almost non-existent a generation ago to actually the leading Coast Guard force in ASEAN. Some would put it that way. And what is the real score pagdating sa Philippine Coast Guard to the degree that you can share now in the confidential?
Well,
para malaman nila David tayo, hindi lang yung Philippine Navy, but yung Philippine Coast Guard.
I mean, for the Philippine Coast Guard, fairly, we can say, no, we are the David.
Yes.
Still good looking, with nice tone of muscle. pero not as big as the Goliath.
Right.
I can say na good looking with nice toned muscle. Kasi, ang mga barko natin, hindi naman to second hand. All of our vessels are brand new. All of these vessels came from Japan. That's the 10 44-meter vessels. That's the 297 meters that we have, and then we also have French vessel, the 83-meter. Ito yung tinatawag nating Gabriela Sila, and also the 24-meter vessels.
Yung mga flagship ito mga to.
Actually, ang flagship na natin na masasabi ng Coast Guard are the biggest vessels that we have. That's the 97-meter. Yes, Teresa Magbanua and Melchor Aquino. These are
puro mga babaeng pangalan. Yeah. I mean, that's really something.
Oh, that's really something, right? I mean,
Spartan. Hindi lang David, Spartan. Amazona na to, Amazona.
But if you're going to compare it with China, although we can not, you know, because of the limitation of logistics, we cannot always deploy the bigger ones, no? The 97 meters and the 83 meters. So what you can see from the resupply mission, we're always only deploying the 44-meter vessels. No? So, the 44-meter vessels, ito yung nakikita nila, maliit, pero mabilis. No? And then, the 97 meters, kumakita nilang malaki, pero these are still smaller compared to the Chinese Coast Guard vessels. Once we deploy the 97-meter vessel, they can still deploy 110, 115 meters na mga barko. So, in short, we remain to be Goliath, David, yeah. And they are still the Goliath because they have bigger vessels, they have more number of vessels. For example, we deploy 244-meter vessel to support the resupply mission. We can expect somewhere between 4 to 6 Chinese Coast Guard vessels ang i-deploy nila instead. But if you're going to become a Coast Guard that uses your water cannon to prevent illegitimate operation and endanger the lives of people, definitely you're not a Coast Guard organization already. So I don't want to compare the ASEAN Coast Guard with that identity of the Chinese Coast Guard. I think they are deviant. And
wait, so kung retire lang, sinasabi mo dito, fake yung Coast Guard nila, na talaga parang Navy nila yan? Or,
well, definitely.
Papanggap lang na mukhang mabait lang na Coast Guard?
And there were even reports, no, that some of the retired PLA Navy warship were just basically painted white. and the commission to the Chinese Coast Guard. So, and also the structure itself, it's part of the Chinese Military Commission.
Right.
So, for me, we cannot really say that the Coast Guard identity of, for the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and even Japan, doesn't align with the identity of what the China Coast Guard is.
So, in short, ang sinasabi mo, you scratch a Chinese Coast Guard, you'll get a Chinese Navy. I mean, literally, in this sense, literally, well, kasi kinulayan lang nila yun, di ba?
That's true.
So, ano yung operational implication ito? Now, when it comes to dealing with China, you have to modernize the Philippine Navy, you have to modernize the Philippine Coast Guard, the two have to coordinate more. Is the idea of joint Coast Guard patrols also something that we have to look at this point? Kasi meron tayong mga joint patrols ng Philippine Navy, with the US Navy, with the Japanese Australian Navy. Should we also look at more patrols? I mean, I remember last year, was it June or July, meron tayong first trilateral with Japan and US. Dito rin, medyo malapit sa South China Sea area. But are you looking at that also as emerging as a... I know it's a policy question, maybe it's beyond your pay grade, but from your understanding, put your scholarly hat as a security expert, do you think that could be also the direction of things? Because ang sinasabi mo is, deviant yung China, to put it nicely. I mean, bully sila, di ba? They're violating every basic principle of what a Coast Guard should stand for, not to mention principles of international law. On a one-to-one basis, mas malaki sila sa ating lahat, assuming, I mean... And they're not even really real Coast Guard. So obviously there has to be a kind of a multilateral response, right? And
well, Richard, last year we had the first trilateral Coast Guard exercise between the U.S. Coast Guard, the Japanese Coast Guard, and the Philippine Coast Guard. If the question is the incoming upcoming trilateral exercise between these three countries will be happening also pretty much the same outside the exclusive economic zone? Kasi alam naman natin
with the territorial sea
plus,
ano natin,
territorial sea in Mindoro, I think that's something that is can be considered as a good development as United States and the Japanese government support our position in the West Philippine Sea. But again, we cannot tell until the department.
Yeah, it's a policy question. And I don't want to put you on this one. I know it's a policy question, but the thing is, I'm just seeing yung direction of the wind, di ba? Itong balikatan this year was really unprecedented. Meron tayong exercises sa Mangkalian na medyo may kinalaman sa Taiwan, although of course not as overtly as some people put it. And then of course, yung first time, meron tayong trilateral patrols with France din. Even the French were involved in this, some of these patrols in the South China Sea. So the idea is naturally, perhaps, you know, you could see also the same thing on the Coast Guard front. I mean, that's where my question is coming. Pwede natin balikan ng konti kasi, sorry dun sa mga nagla-live, medyo nagka-cut yung antaas kasi nung quality. Pwede mo ulit, can you tell us a little bit again about ano yung capacity ng Philippine Coast Guard as it stands? Kasi sabi ko nga, pagdating sa Philippine Navy, medyo mukhang maayos-ayos na yung mga warships nila and they're acquiring more, they're looking at submarines. The Philippine Coast Guard, do you have like world-class vessels who can go into the high seas and do the patrols with other countries and make us look good? I mean, again.
Well, right now, to be honest with you, we have three of those Coast
Guard
vessels.
So what are these three? Again, ulitin
natin. 8301, 9701, and 9702.
So, dalawang 97, isang 83.
Isang 83 meters.
83. Ano yung mga pangalan nila?
BRP Teresa Magbanwa, BRP Melchora Aquino, and BRP Gabriela Silang.
Okay, all so of them it should be Amazon, hindi na David. Yeah. I think David yung Navy, kayo Amazon. I mean, these are all the... honestly, ako na-touch ako when nakita ko yung mga pangalan. And again, we have to emphasize it. And I'm sure people can Google it and see online. These are beautiful vessels. I've seen them in person. I've dropped by them. Masarap na... It feels good. I mean, we know we're never going to be as big as China for understandable reasons, but it's good to know that we have those kinds of vessels. And these kind of vessels, do they have the state-of-the-art electronics and other capabilities?
They have the state-of-the-art communications capability, navigation as well. And all of these three Coast Guard vessels have helicopter hangar. So this actually carry...
Interesting.
Chopper. Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, wow. So you can do like Mission Impossible movies and Tom Cruise can come in. Okay, now, speaking of feeling proud... that's what I felt. Kasi, syempre, I've been covering West Philippine Sea for 10-12 years as a journalist, no? And I saw massive improvement in terms of our Philippine Coast Guard, in terms of our Navy. Why I understand things on the part of China are on a completely different level compared to all of us. Now, having said that, speaking of pride and speaking of excitement and inspiration, meron pa rin tayong problema sa Pilipinas, right? Which is, nahihirapan ako maghanap sa mga ibang bansa, ang mga grupo ng tao na, I mean, ako, bilang isang academic and journalist, bukas ako sa debate, right? As an academic, minsan kine-question ko pa yung mga claims ng Pilipinas. Sinasabi ko, nung 1970s, sa totoo lang, tayo pa yung mga pinakamalakas. Medyo nabubuli pa natin mga kapitbahay natin. Tayo na unang gumawa ng mga military. So, as an academic, I'm willing to make that argument kasi objective ako. Pero para sa akin, medyo weird, medyo ibang level na pag meron kang mga tao na sinasabi nila makabayan sila, not necessarily makabayan block, I'm just saying, makabayan sila, mahal nila yung bayan nila. And then, puro mga sinasabi lang nila is, lahat ng ginagawa natin, ano lang yan, tuta lang tayo ng Amerika, front lang tayo ng Amerika, or lahat ng mga ginagawa natin, tayong nanggugulo, tayong provocateur. Medyo, honestly, gets ko yan nung panahon ng dating presidente, kasi yung presidente mo mismo, medyo ganun yung line. Pero iba na yung presidente natin, so hindi ko naintindihan, bakit yung mga ibang tao, pinipilit nila na tayo ang mali, or kung hindi tayo mali, ginagamit lang tayo ng ibang powers katulad ng US. Tell me honestly, how do you feel about this? Because I kind of have a sense of how you could feel, although I'm not an official. As a Filipino expert, of course, I go all around the world and give a talk, right? Ang sarap nung feeling. Now, people come to you after your talk. I'm parang, good job, Philippines. You're standing up. Yung mga ibang ASEAN, hindi ko na sasabihin sino. Sabi nila, actually, sa totoo lang, tama yung ginagawa nyo, nakakayang gobyerno. I mean, I'm not gonna say which countries. And then, uwi ka sa Pilipinas or bubuksan mo yung Twitter mo. In my case, 5 different accounts. Hindi ko na pag-usapan yung TikTok ko, di ba? Sasabihin na, tuta ka ng Amerika. They are gonna tag you as working for... I mean, tapos babastusin ka. They'll make cartoons about you. Tell me honestly, how do you feel about this? And what should we do about it as a democracy? Obviously, kung siguro China tayo, Vietnam, alam ko na yung sagot, di ba? Pero, demokrasya tayo eh. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. But I think, ito na, real talk na tayo. I think the first part of this interview was really geopolitics. Ito, mag-real talk na tayo, Commander Tariella. First of all, how do you feel about this? How weird or how, you know, dispiriting this could be? How do you keep it going? I mean, what is your inspiration that keeps you going and keeping you strong and keeping us David, di ba? And then, what should be done about this? Medyo nakakaloka to eh, di ba?
Well, una sa lahat, Richard, no? Since we started the transparency strategy, naniniwala ako na more Filipinos now have become more aware of what's really happening. Kung meron bang iilan na mga trolls or figures or influencers na nagsasabi na ang ginagawa natin, magkakagera, mga tuta tayo ng Amerika, and I mean, you've seen how people really portrayed me on Twitter. May mga caricature pa nga sa akin, yeah. Di ba? I mean, those things na talaga yung nakakainis. Ngayon, ang tanong, how do I respond to this? And how do I see them?
And how do you cope? I mean, and how do I cope, keep it right? Strong and fresh, you know?
Para sa,
David tayo. Di ba?
Yeah, David tayo. Para sa akin, when I look at the trolls na hindi talaga sila... Alam mo yun, you can really tell naman whether this account is just an ordinary troll. Ako, iniisip ko na lang, he's just paid to do this.
Mm.
Kasi wala kang sariling identity. Wala kang, oh. I mean, it makes me feel good na iisipin ko na itong tao na to, because of his
balls,
may kabuhayan siya dahil sa akin.
Correct, correct.
And China, tuloy-tuloy ang foreign direct investment niya sa pagpapasweldo sa mga to.
So, yan ang foreign direct investment.
Yeah, we are actually helping our own economy because of these trolls. Eh, di ba? So, on the good side of it, para sa akin, okay na lang, may trabaho si kuya. O talagang busy ngayon, double pay.
Correct,
somehow, weekend.
OT yung iba eh.
OT. Madaling araw, nagtitweet sila, nagpo-post sila sa Facebook. They should thank me. No? And I'm so happy na I became instrumental para magkaroon ng livelihood ang ating mga kababayan Pilipino.
Okay.
Ang nakakasakit sa akin, Richard, is yung mga alam mong totoong tao na used to be nice bureaucratic people na used to be have the reputation na alam mong maayos sila noon. And yet, they are amplifying this kind of messaging of China. Parang yun yung mas nakakalungkot sa akin. Kahit anong sabihin nila sa akin pananakit na sa salita or whatever, I don't really care. Ang nakakasakit sa akin, yung isiping Pilipino to, totoong tao, and yet, they are doing that for our country. ang hindi ko maintindihan dyan, kung concerned ba talaga sila sa bayan natin na Pilipinas, or talagang they're just paid to, right, you know, be a fear-mongering para sabihin na sa mga Pilipino na magkakagera. Lagi ko sinasabi kapag tinatanong ako na ang issue ba talaga magkakagera, ang response ko dito, Richard, buti pa itong mga trolls eh, or etong mga tao na to. Alam nila na China will go to war because of the stones and the, you know, some islets, atolls, dito, yeah, atolls or shoals dito sa West Philippine Sea. Without even considering na ang China wouldn't even go to war because of all of this. Right, right. Because of so much complicatedness, once there will be a kinetic conflict.
Right.
Pero sa kanila, it's very easy for them to, you know, threaten the Filipino people, for them to withdraw support sa gobyerno, at sabihin pang, let's go against, I mean, calling for going against the president himself.
Right.
This is very sad and very frustrating.
Coder, I mean, okay, just to be clear, I think the Soviet Union had a technical term for some of these people. I think the technical term was useful idiots, something like that. Yung mga, like they do it for free. Out of, I don't know, spite or feeling leftist, feeling progressive. But are you suggesting that some of these people are also politically motivated because they belong to a certain faction, na may certain agenda, or may certain, you know, certain networks of connection to a foreign power? What is your distinguishing? I see. So you're saying, yung mga troll na bayaran, good for you. Please, gastusin niyo sa Pilipinas. Huwag sa kapat. Huwag niyo din gastusin.
Tulungan niyo ikanan.
Oh, huwag sa Hong Kong. Huwag kayong mag-Japan-Japan. Para dito na kayo gumastos para umikot yung pera. Pero doon naman sa mga useful idiots, anong basa mo sa mga yan? Yung iba may political agenda, or yung iba, they're just ideologically blind or hater lang? Anong...
Alam mo, that's a very interesting question, Richard. No? Without naming names, makikita mo to eh. Sino?
Itago natin sa pangalan na... No, just kidding. Ano, sige lang.
I mean, without naming names. No? Without makikita names. Mo. Eto mga to na sumusuporta sa naratibo ng China, sila din ang sumusuporta sa administrasyon na kinukontra naman ang kasalukuyang administrasyon.
Di
ba?
Okay, okay, okay.
So, we can tell na ito ba politically motivated dahil yung sinusuportahan nilang dating administrasyon.
So, may partisan political agenda.
There is a partisan
not all, but agenda. Some
yes. But definitely, there is a motivating reason why all of this are just doing it for, whether for funds or for money, or for ambition na kung sakaling magkakaroon ng eleksyon, gagastosan sila or whatsoever.
Right.
But definitely, that's not a patriotic reason kung bakit nila ginagawa.
Right. They're just hiding behind labels like anti-America daw sila, anti-ETCA, mga ganun.
Meron pa yung anti-violence, ano nga to?
Ano ba yun?
Meron siyang...
Proxy war?
Meron daw siyang ano?
Malapit na natin pangalanan, malapit na, okay. I'm avoiding kasi medyo maging obvious na masyado eh. Ay nako, anyway, nasa email list ako ng mga yan. So mamaya balikan ko yung mga labels na ginagamit nila. Minsan nga inisip ko, ano yun, parang nagtatapon na lang sila ng kung ano para maniwalang tao sa kanila. Kasi may isa ko nakitang survey, 3% na lang naniwala sa kanila. Yung tipong 3% na lang naniwala na China yung biktima dito. Diba? Yung parang sobrang nuclear war, I don't know, asteroid. Kulang na asteroid. So sabi, tatamaan tayo ng asteroid kung hindi natin labanan yun.
Hindi ko pa maintindihan. Parang ano ba to, coincidental ha?
Yeah.
Kung ano sasabihin ng China ngayon, yun ang sasabihin nila bukas. Kung ano yung sasabihin
Misa
ng...
Misa nga, nauna pa yan.
Misa sila tayo bigay ng idea. Oh,
well, ang 7 a.m. yung isa, 9 a.m. yung umabal yung isa.
Pero I don't know how you really look into the trolls, no? May mga time yan sila. Lahat, ha? Tahimik.
May call
sabi
center
ko, ano ba
style.
To? Tahimik ngayon, ha? Tapos, pag nagsalita na itong identified figure, a few minutes, sunod-sunod na yan sila lahat.
Yeah.
So, talagang orchestrated, well-organized.
Yeah. Parang mala call center operation. Now, okay, so what you're doing is you compartmentalize. It's always good. Compartmentalize always helps when medyo stress ka.
Mm-hmm.
So, isang group, okay yan, kabuhay niyan. And then may isang group, sabi natin, useful idiots, as the Soviet Union technically puts it. Oh, well, let's just debate them, right? Ridiculous yung argument. Wala naman naiwala. 60 lang daw views nila sa YouTube, sabi nung isang political analyst. But you're saying there's a group na may partisan interest, may agenda, potentially destabilizer, some would say more than, some would use even terms na incitement to rebellion or whatever. Paparating na tayo sa elections. Actually, if you look at it, I think the election has already started. By all means, I think we already have some idea about who's going to be the de facto opposition, right? We can have a long conversation about the traditional liberal progressive opposition. Now, the thing is, usually sa elections, hindi ganun kamahalaga yung foreign policy issues. Now, wala akong illusion na sa susunod na election, maging number one issue ng West Philippine Sea. Pero, there's a part of me feels that it could be among the top three issues, aside from the normal gut issues, employment, poverty, inflation, ganun. First of all, is that also your understanding that dahil dito sa bang, ano, talagang medyo bardagulan na eh, di ba? Dito sa issue ng West Philippine Sea, that this could become a much more mainstream central issue sa paparating na election. Kasi, my sense is, one group will say, kayo ang Team America. Sabi na ng kabila, kayo ang Team China. Di ba? But honestly, I think the real distinction is between Team Philippines, yung mga talaga patriotic, at saka yung mga nagpapanggap na Team Philippines. Pero sa totoo lang, alam natin sinuportan nila. Mm-hmm. Di ba? What is your understanding of the upcoming elections? And before we discuss more about siguro what kind of leaders we need, kasi every election is a chance to make sure we move in the right direction as a democracy.
Well, you know, Richard, no? The first objective of the transparency, lagi ko itong sinasabi, President Bongbong Marcos has inherited a nation wherein more people used to believe na ang China are more friendlier, na ang China are the better partner for economic development. Because that was the narrative before of the previous administration. So, for President Bongbong Marcos to unite this country,
right,
to go against Chinese aggression, we decided to do this transparency.
Right.
Ngayon, ang tanong, what is the end game for this? No?
Right.
Kasi sinasabi nila, this transparency strategy will only last for one presidential, under presidential President Bongbong Marcos. And then by 2028, it will be another priority, just like what happened from 2016.
And my implication, sorry for cutting you, because one of the things we discussed, I mean, I just discussed with Elbridge Colby, who was one of the chief architects of the National Defense Strategy of the Trump administration, and he's you know, probably he'll be the National Security Advisor to Trump. One of the things that came out in my discussion with the Americans, and also Filipinos, people like former Senator Trilance, is isang dahilan na hindi makapagbigay ng full support mga ibang bansa sa atin is parang medyo ilang sila eh. Baka bigyan natin ng armas yan, tapos biglang pro-China yung next year nila. Tapos bibigay sa China yung weapon systems. I just came from Thailand. And Thailand wants to buy F-35 fighters from US. Ayaw ng US kasi masyado kayo malapit sa China. Mama, yung weapons saan, pupunta sa kabila, pipirata niya. You know what I'm saying? They're, like, what our allies can give us now, apektado because hindi sila sigurado sa anong pwedeng maging leadership natin.
By 2028.
2025, 2028. Kasi may 2025 will shape 2028. Diba? Related lahat ng elections na yan. I just want to emphasize that.
That's actually my point, no? That this is the main objective of transparency.
Right.
Ang laban natin ng West Philippine Sea is intergenerational, sabi nga ni Justice Scarpio. The result of our transparency strategy is something that we cannot probably tell the impact in the next coming years. But the best way for us to measure our impact of transparency is through election, whether 2025 or 2028. Tama yung sinabi mo, Richard, no? By 2025, in the next coming months, magpa-file na ng campaign ng kandidatura ng lahat ng tao. Itong issue na to, tingin ko, if it would not be number one, it will be number, you know,
top three, or
right?
Top five at least.
Ito ang gusto kong pag-usapan natin. Na ang, ngayon, kung ang foreign policy ni President Bongbong Marcos ay tindigan ng West Philippine Sea, gusto ko, by 2025, ito rin dapat pag-usapan to. And the same thing by 2028. That's why we need to amplify our transparency. We are reaching out to all media personalities. We're reaching out to even bloggers, no? And even the academic,
right,
all of the sectors of society are being reached out para mapalalim natin ang ugnayan natin sa West Philippine Sea. At siguraduhin ang usapan ng West Philippine Sea will not just be centered here in National Capital Region.
Policy,
it will go beyond, you know, Visayas or even Mindanao. Para maramdaman ng Pilipino,
grassroots
ang issue na to. Hindi ito laban lang ng administrasyon ni Pangulong Bongbong Marcos. Itong laban na to, dapat ituloy ito ng susunod na administrasyon ng 2028. And for us to do that, we need to educate the Filipino people. For them to be aware na itong issue na to, nagmamatter to. Mm. Hindi tamang, I mean, it's correct to talk about the education, the trade, and everything. But most importantly, pag-usapan natin, ano ang kahalagahan ng bansa natin. Ang West Philippine Sea, part ng Pilipinas yan. So ito dapat pinakamahalagang issue na dapat natin pag-usapan at maging basihan kung how are we going to select our leaders, whether in 2025 or in 2028.
Now, speaking of 2025 elections, I mean, kung titignan mo yung surveys, some of the people are kind of there within the magic circle. Ito yung mga tao na very vocally against President Marcos Jr.'s position on West Philippine Sea. Some of them very close to the president, hindi na natin kailangan sabihin sa mga tao, who openly question his ETCA policy, West Philippine Sea policy. May mga tao dyan na never na criticism ng China or never close to the level that they should. Nakakabahala ba yan yung kung there's a high chance of people who are not supportive of yung patriotic position natin sa West Philippine Sea winning again in Senate? And again, I don't want to also name people, but may isang senador na nag-number one sa last elections na, you know what I'm saying, na surprising, at hindi ito si Rafi Tulfo, na biglang nung nanalo na ginagamit yung bully pulpit niya at momentum niya to make arguments which we used to hear under the former president, and arguments which are really weird and baseless and questionable. I mean, hindi ba nakakabahala yan kung ito yung direction, based on the surveys that we're saying, trend lines we're saying?
Well, para sa akin, Richard, no? Kung makikita mo rin naman ang social media, no? Alam po naman your social media savvy, no? Not just for Facebook, Twitter, or all the platforms. Makikita mo how typical Filipino people would react now, no? Sa Twitter, alam naman natin, most of those people who engage in Twitter are middle class, right. Educated, professional. Makikita natin how they react with that kind of, politician that go against the narrative and the approach of this administration against West Philippine Sea. And also in Facebook, alam natin, ang social class na nasa Facebook, social class na nasa YouTube, will also show kung ano yung mga comments sa mga tao dito.
Correct.
Kaya sabi ko kanina when we were talking with Sir Jonathan Malaya, meron nga akong kilala na isang tao na talagang nagpo-post ng kung ano-ano going against President Bongbong Marcos policy in the West Philippine Sea. Tinurn off niya na yung comments eh. Dahil real people are making comments on going against her criticism sa administration ni President Marcos in our response in the West Philippines.
Now, I want to ask you another question. I don't know if this is appropriate or something. I mean, do you think more patriotic people should throw their hat into this ring? I mean, this looks like a very competitive elections. Ang dami mga re-electionists dyan, ang dami mga malalaking pangalan. But do you think it's also time for people, whether they're serving in the government right now or whether they served in capacities relevant sa West Philippine Sea and fighting for the West Philippine Sea, do you think that more people have to throw their hat into this ring? I mean, because it's one thing for you, for instance, you in your case, you are inside the government, you're doing your job. But don't you think na siguro mahalaga din na in ibang branches of the government, whether it's Senate and Congress, something like that we have more of these patriotic voices? Someone like Mr. West Philippine Sea, if I can put it that way. Kailangan ba natin ng mga Miss and Miss, Mrs. and Miss Mr. West Philippine Sea sa Senado? Kasi, I mean, I can think about Riza Ontiveros, who consistently has been strong on this issue, or a number of other senators who you have met and got support from. But parang para sa akin, mas sikat yung mga ibang senador na parang mas pro-China eh, to be honest eh. Parang may more Mr. West, South China si Guy sa Mr. West. You get what I'm saying? Again, I'm just being nice. I'm controlling myself. Do you think we need people with defense or Coast Guard or whatever background to also be in the Senate in the future? I know this is becoming a leading question almost. And let's see how good you are in responding.
Well, honestly, Richard, no? Ako, naniniwala ako na pag-usapin ng West Philippine Sea, dapat ang iboto talaga natin sa susunod na election by 2025 are those, whether they are politicians, traditional politicians, or newcomer in the politics, are those people who are really concerned for our position in the West Philippine Sea. Lagi ko ang sinasabi, Richard, na ang West Philippine Sea, dapat talaga natin tindigan to dahil bago tayo naging bansa, bago tayo nagkaroon ng independence, when the colonizers left, you know, maraming buhay ng Pilipino ang ipinusta dito eh, para magkaroon lang tayo ng isang independent, democratic country of our own where we can elect our own national leaders. So, we really need to take care of our own sovereignty and patrimony as a nation. Ngayon, kung magbuboto ka naman ng ilang mga politiko na would undermine our own national interest, would undermine our own patrimony as a nation, parang we have forgotten what our national heroes risk and given to the Philippines na parang isinantabi na lang natin. Kaya kung pilian lang talaga sa susunod na election, by whether 2025 or 2028, that should be somebody who cares for the West Philippine Sea. And that would, you know, keep on the WPS issue as something that, you know, would awaken the sense of patriotism of the Philippines.
Somebody or some group or some movement, all of them, right? Kasi, and last point perhaps on this, and I'm sure I'm going to come back to you with more questions over the months kasi tuloy-tuloy itong laban sa West Philippine Sea. Generational lang, kung baga. I don't know. I'm not saying this because we're having this interview now, but honestly, I've heard from some folks in Europe when I was in Berlin the other month, and we're talking about officials in the Philippines. I'm like, oh, ang dami madaldal sa government. Di na kailangan yung mga katulad ko mag-explain eh. And then suddenly, discussion went to you, and someone said, oh, yeah, co-retire. I heard some wanting to run for office or something like that. I'm telling you, this is not... And I said, really? Seriously? And then, may nakita akong blogger, hindi natin pangalan. At parang ganun din yata ang tanong sa'yo. So sabi ko, parang kailangan ko rin itanong sa'yo. Komunitaryal, meron ka bang balak sa buhay?
Well, alam mo, Richard, since bata pa ako, I really wanted to join the military service.
Right.
That's why I joined the military academy. And then, although... I was not lucky enough because I was more blessed.
Right.
To binanggit ko na kay kay Rigoberto Tiglao na sinasabi niya, Jay Tariala, kick out ng PMA, ganyan ganyan.
So nagpangalan na.
Yeah, sinabi ko lang na
bombs drop.
Sinabi ko lang, no? Yeah, yeah. Na this was discussed when we had interaction over Twitter nito ni Sir Rigoberto Tiglao, no? And I responded by saying, you know, 3 weeks after graduation, I had a case, and then eventually I joined the Coast Guard. So, my parents during that time really wanted me to, you know, just study wherever and then pursue law, do private practice. Pero para sa akin, I still wanted to serve. That's why I joined the Coast Guard service. Right. And then eventually, I never thought na after my PhD, I will have this kind of job, be the spokesperson, and amplify the transparency strategy that we have right now, no? So, para sa akin, my calling for public service is really that deep, no? Ngayon, kung ang tanong, would I run? Kasi nga, pang ilang tanong na yan sa akin, would I run for Senate or whatever? Alam mo, para sa akin, Richard, ang issue dito, ano ba ang gusto ng... I mean, to be honest with you, I would choose to be a public servant in whatever capacity.
Right.
But if ever... certain groups or large number of people would compel me to do the same thing, to run for office, in which I believe I will never, you know, undermine the interests of the nation, the Filipino people, and I would still choose to fight for our West Philippine Sea, then I would, no? Pero hindi nga ganun eh, di ba? Ang pagpasok sa politika, it's a very big risk. You have to need political machinery,
right.
Finances, and all. So, para sa
akin,
and
this
it's
is
just,
and this is looking like very very tight race, very 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 competitive race. But what you're saying is that if ever, you know, it's just going to be a natural evolution of your lifelong commitment.
And at the same time,
wag tayong maging surprise.
Para sa akin, kung anumang posisyon ang makuha ko dito sa gobyerno na to,
sure capacity.
I'm still a public servant in whatever capacity.
Right. On that note, pwede ka na mag-showbiz. Parang Tito Boy Abunda yata ang dapat mag-interview dito, hindi ako. Salamat, Commander Tariela, Dr. Tariela, for that fantastic discussion. Maraming salamat. Mabuhay po.